30 years of joyfulness. Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the Midday News. The Midday News is live on Joy 99.7 FM and Hits 103.9 FM here in Accra, Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi, and around the world on myjoyonline.com. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via various affiliates. We're live on X Spaces, on Facebook, and on YouTube. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. This afternoon, U.S. Ambassador to Ghana, Virginia Palmer, calls for further dialogue after high-level government talks at the Foreign Affairs meeting over the imposition of a 10% tariff on Ghana and other countries.
Well, I had a great meeting with the Minister of Foreign Affairs, and we talked about how the relationship with Ghana is very strong and how we can keep it going that way.
And banking consultant calls for constitutional reforms to limit government borrowing, describing the state of the Ghanaian economy as disappointing.
I was given a lecture at Kempinski, and I said that the way we are borrowing, we pay through our nose. And I was insulted in this country. Today, we are not even paying through our nose. We are using our blood to pay.
Also, supporters of Adjoa Sapho storm NPP headquarters to support the former MP for Domekwa Binya, who was invited to appear before the party's disciplinary committee today over her commentary in the media.
Ridicule me in public and come here and tell me that the committee is not even sitting. The message you send to the whole of Ghana is that I've done something untoward.
We're live at the NPP headquarters and we bring you details where the disciplinary hearing is taking place. And later, construction resumes on Temaplau Road after a 15-month break as contractor with residents and business owners expressing joy over the resumption of work.
I'm saying that the NDC party has done well and we are going to vote for them again, for them to continue.
They can... As I see this road, the contractors coming back working on, I was so excited and I really appreciate the government for fully seeing this.
We'll definitely bring you sports.
Well, StarTimes proposed return as the official broadcast partner of the Ghana Premier League has hit a snag. We've got details of that.
Right, you want to stay with me, Sweetie Abochi. Details in a bit. Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible. This afternoon, U.S. Ambassador to Ghana, Virginia Palmer, is calling for continued dialogue with government following the U.S. decision to impose a 10% tariff on imports from Ghana, set to take effect this week. The move has unsettled the private sector, with experts warning of a potential blow to exports and revenue. The tariff follows a recent U.S. decision to reverse part of its USAID support to Ghana, a move President Mahama says could hurt funding inflows, prompting him to task the finance minister to close revenue gaps. Now, despite the concerns, Ambassador Palmer says she remains hopeful Ghana can still benefit from the ongoing engagement and has called for further talks.
Well, I had a great meeting with the Minister of Foreign Affairs, and we talked about how the relationship with Ghana is very strong and how we can keep it going that way. And the sort of details of what these global tariffs are, and some things where the United States and Ghana can improve our trade relations.
And the lowest tariff regime, what does that mean to, you know, between the relations that we have?
Well, I hope that it means that Ghana will have some benefit vis-a-vis its competitors, but we'll dig in and continue to talk.
Do you feel you've convinced the minister enough?
The minister and I are good friends.
Well, let's get more details on this. And head of our diplomatic desk, Blessed Suga, is at the Foreign Ministry where that engagement is taking place. And he joins me on the line for more. Blessed, what specific concerns did the Ghanaian team raise during this high-level meeting regarding the 10% U.S. tariff? And what was the ambassador's response?
It appears we're getting some more clarity on why this meeting may have been organized in the first place. Initially, the impression was as though the government of Ghana was clearly unhappy about the moves by the U.S. president. But now there seems to be more clarity after today's engagement that if you look at the decision by the U.S., Ghana was not targeted. We are in the lower tier of the tariffs that were imposed. So 10% across board for all countries, except to say that other countries were unfortunate and they're suffering higher forms of the 10% tariff. So what the foreign minister sought to do today was just to seek clarity. Now, there's a difference in terms of diplomatic language where earlier, of course, others were reporting that perhaps it might have been a summons against the U.S. Diplomat. But now it's appearing that after the engagement today, that's not the case. So some clarity is coming forth, and we understand from the U.S. ambassador now that there will be a need for further engagement to try and see how you know, both Ghana and the U.S. can benefit out of this. Mind you, the tariffs will take effect this week. There's a heightened level that will take effect on April 9, and Ghana is not in that category, but we are in the 10% category, which will come with some discomfort anyway, regardless of the fact that we're in the lower tier. So that's what both parties have been trying to iron out at this meeting.
How did the Ghanaian team respond to this?
Basically, it's going to be a very winding process because, mind you, if you look at the constitutional provisions, the president is ultimately responsible for our foreign affairs issues. So it is likely that today the president will receive full briefing from the foreign affairs minister. Once that is done, then it presents the president with the opportunity to know what the next steps will be available to him in terms of either reaching forth, as the U.S. ambassador is calling for, on further talks, and also finding out what more opportunities we might be able to take advantage of. There's a pre-existing AGOA framework, which is the African Growth and Opportunity Act, that many African countries have made use of all throughout the years, except that it is receding this year. That gave a more relaxed waiver for persons who are exporting into the U.S. market. We do not know if any negotiations may take place between Ghana and the U.S. to take advantage of that. But clearly, the U.S. ambassador, quite later today, even affected the engagement and saying that the our foreign minister is her friend. So clearly, it does give a friendly atmosphere, and pointing out to the fact that, as she said last week, Ghana indeed remains friends with the U.S.
Ghana indeed remains friendly. And well, let's stay on this for a bit, because the question is, how would this impact Ghana? And the research desk has been looking at the numbers and what they mean to us. Joining us, editor Fred Smith joins me with details. Fred, so what exactly is the United States doing with these new tariffs?
Well, Sweetie, the U.S. is introducing what it calls the reciprocal tariffs, imposing import duties on goods from about 185 countries. And these tariffs are meant to match what the U.S. claims other countries effectively impose on American exports. It is a bold attempt by Washington to address what it sees as unfair trade imbalances.
And the question is, why is this move such a big deal, and who is affected the most?
Well, the impact is especially severe for developing countries, nations like Lesotho, Cambodia, Sri Lanka, Madagascar, Laos, and Myanmar are facing tariffs above 40%. For countries that rely heavily on exports to the United States, this could spell economic distress, job losses, and in some cases, even recession.
And Fred, I know that the arguments pouring in so far suggest that a lot of thoughts went into this. So how did the U.S. calculate these so-called reciprocal tariffs then?
Well, Joy News investigations show the U.S. based its calculations on trade deficits. They divided the trade deficits with a particular country by the total value of U.S. imports from that country. Then multiply the results by 100. The outcome is what the U.S. claims is the implied tariff being charged against them. So they respond by imposing about half that rate in return.
And can you walk us through some examples just to bring clarity to
this? Yes, sure. For Ghana, the U.S. trade deficit in 2024 was $204.4 million, and total imports from Ghana were $1.2 billion. That's about 17%. So the U.S. imposed a 10% reciprocal tariff. Lesotho's case is more dramatic. The U.S. had a $234.5 million deficit out of $237.3 million in imports, around 99%. Resulting in a 50% tariff. China, on the other hand, recorded $295.4 billion trade deficit with the U.S. from $438.9 billion in imports.
equaling 67%. That translated into a 34% reciprocal tariff on Chinese goods.
Joining us editor there, Fred Smith, helping us put this in perspective. Now, you know that African ministers responsible for trade are also set to hold a crisis deliberation next week following the latest executive order. While Ghana is attracting a base rate of 10%, other African countries such as Lesotho could be paying as high as 50% on U.S. import tariffs when the Trump directive goes into effect on April 9th. And Secretary General of African Continental Free Trade Area, Wemkele Mini, has hinted that the Ministers of Trade will, on the 14th of April, deliberate on this matter and respond. Let's tell you more in this report.
U.S. President Donald Trump receiving applause at the White House after signing new executive orders imposing new import tariffs for countries across the world. After coming into force on April 9, some African countries, such as Lesotho, could be paying as high as 50% on U.S. import tariffs. Giving the far-reaching implications, Secretary General of the African Continental Free Trade Area, Wemkele Mene, has hinted that Africa is exploring ways by which it could effectively respond.
The President of the United States has given us a wake-up call, and the wake-up call is that we must accelerate our own economic self-sufficiency. The ministers of trade will meet on the 14th of April to deliberate on this matter and exactly how our continent should respond.
There are fears that U.S. President Donald Trump's rhetoric of America First could leave Africa benefiting less than it should. But Secretary General Wemkele Mene says that will not be the case.
We will continue to pursue that trade and investment partnership that is based on mutual respect and mutual benefits. We obviously will not be in a position to condone or support America First and everybody else last. We will pursue what is in Africa's best interests, not last interests, but best interests, as we seek a path forward in respect of AGOA.
Well, moving on to other stories now, a banking consultant, Dr. Richmond Etuahene, has made a passionate call for constitutional reforms that will prohibit any sitting government from borrowing beyond 50% of the country's gross domestic product, that is the GDP. And they're citing growing concerns over Ghana's rising debt levels and their implications for economic stability. And speaking at the ongoing constitutional review stakeholders dialogue, Dr. Etuahene warned that the country risks falling into a deeper debt trap unless strict legal measures are taken to curtail successive government excessive borrowing.
Never in the history of any African country, never, not even in the case of Argentina, let alone Greek, and the whole countries in Africa, we are the first to structure people's savings and destroy it. I'm very passionate about it. I've written a lot of articles on public debt. And one of the forums, Mr. Chairman, in 2018, I was given a lecture at Kempinski. And I said that the way we are borrowing, we'll pay through our nose. And I was insulted in this country. Today, we are not even paying through our nose. We are using our blood to pay. Let us set it right in the Constitution that no one, should borrow more than 50% of our GDP ratio. Nobody. So that it puts a brake on people telling people we can do so many things. We promise heaven and earth, and you go and borrow and come and destroy what we have. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm so passionate about the debt. I heard somebody saying recently that I'm going to amend the PFM, is it Public Finance Management Act? You are a joker. The very people who you suspended it. We shouldn't give people a chance at all.
Well, that's not all. He's also demanding protection against political interference in the tenure of the governors of the Bank of Ghana.
In the governor's tenorship, he has 4 years as the political party. So I must dance and sing to the tune. You cannot change the governor. You cannot force him to resign. But that article in the Constitution has been breached and breached and breached, and nobody talks about it. Somebody comes into Papa, I don't want to work with this man. But the constitution that if you don't want to work with, you first fall foul, either you are incompetent, number one, incapacitation. How many governors have been kicked since, I think I've counted about 10 or thereabout. And I say, are we serious at all? Look at the Bank of Ghana corporate governance, the independence governance, and begin to tweak it to make it as robust as we have in other jurisdictions. I'm going to end my conversation, Mr. Chairman. The governor of Central Bank of Nigeria, since ever Buhari left, do you know where he is at the moment? He has been in prison from day one to today. He has not been bailed. He's under house arrest because of certain things you did. Let us frame our constitution in such a way that people cannot take Ghana for a joke.
Banking consultant there, Dr. Richmond Itiahini, and that said on trade wars, tariff wars, and the economy. Let's get into politics now. Now, supporters of Ajuasafo storm NPP headquarters to support the former member of parliament for Domekwabinya, who was invited to appear before the party's disciplinary committee today over her commentary in the media. She's been in the media in the recent past, taking on elements within the party for what she calls mistreatment during her time of difficulty. My colleague Ken Ejesi is there, and let's get some details on that. Ken, tell us about the mood at the NPP headquarters where you are right now. And I don't know if you can hear me. Tell us about the mood at the NPP headquarters right now where supporters have stormed in to support Ajuasafo. To reconnect with my colleague Ken Ejesi, who is there to bring us the live action. But moving on to other stories, work on the Temaflawu Road has resumed after more than a year's delay following a directive from Roads Minister Kwame Govins Abuja for contractors to return to site. Now, BHM International Construction, which is handling the 17-kilometer stretch, moved back to the site today to continue work on the highway. The project stalled in December 2022 due to funding challenges, and Adrian Wilson is country director for BHM International Construction, UK Limited.
We've been delayed by the reassurances publicly made by government recently with regard to the bilateral agreements required for the funding to be unfroze, the debt restructuring. So with that, we've decided to start, resume works again.
Let's take you live now to the site where Collins Frimpong is there for us. Collins, this must come as a relief to residents and businesses around this area. Well, we'll not be able to bring you those details right now, but in other stories, in Ejira Sechoduma say, hope runs as dry as the cracked earth beneath farmers' feet. Here, desperate for water, smallholder farmers dig into the ground, sometimes with bare hands, praying to strike a muddy miracle. But even when they do, they must share it with livestock, risking their health for every drop. Joy News' Michael Ashali journeyed to this patched farming community and now reports on a crisis that can no longer be ignored.
As the sun sets over Aminemo, Yakubu leads his family on their daily walk to a stream bed. With hoes in hand and hope in their hearts, they dig into the cracked earth, searching for water. The sound of metal striking the ground fills the air. But the effort yields nothing, just mud and despair. We have relied on this water source for years. During the dry season, it dries up completely, forcing us to dig with a hole until water slowly seeps through. Even that, there is no guarantee. The water isn't just scarce, it's unsafe, tainted by grazing animals. The people, desperate for water, pay the price with their health. Both cattle and pigs come here to drink. But that's not even the worst part. Upstream, waste is dumped directly into the water, making it unsafe for us. For Joy News, Michael Ashali.
Well, let me now bring you back that story from the Temaflau Road that the construction work has resumed now after a year's delay. And my colleague Collins is now there. Collins, so this must come as a relief to residents and businesses in this area.
City, of course, road users on this Tema part of the highway spent about 3 hours just to move from their various homes to Accra part. And we have been speaking to some of them, and they've been applauding the government for working on this and also allowing the contractor to return to site.
The problem we are facing on this stretch because of the traffic, a number of kilometers that you can drive within some 15 minutes, 10 minutes, you have to spend 2 or 3 hours before you are able to drive from Dawenya Junction to Bombaria. So the traffic is very, very stressful. So as me, particularly as I see this road, the contractors coming back working on, I was so excited, and I really appreciate the government for fully seeing this. I'm very, 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 very happy to, because I know how I suffered before I get here. Every morning I have to go to Accra, or let's say most of it.
How many minutes or hours do you spend on this particular stretch?
Yeah, from just my housing junction, it's called Tarazo Junction, to Pombaria. The day I got it easy, it's an 1 hour 30 minutes. That is the day I got it easy. Sometimes you go beyond that. And when you from, Stewart Junction to Bombaria, you can also spend 2 hours. When you get it, it's a 1 hour 40 minutes.
And Collins, we know that the project stalled due to funding issues. How does the contractor plan to deal with this to avoid another halt?
So the project stalled, as you said, due to funding issues. And BAHM has returned to site mainly based on the assurance from the government, that is Finance Minister Dr. Kessie Owusu-Fosin. During the presentation of the budget, he made mention of government commitment to completing this particular project. And also, somewhere around last week, the Minister for Roads, Kwame Govins Agweja, also assured them on government commitment to complete this particular project. But they've been also urging government. We spoke to the client relations manager for BHM, Wisdom Adonu, who spoke on behalf of the contractor. And he is urging government to reinstate the $105 million loan facility.
20-kilometer project that we promised to do for interchanges, and also statistically, and the project was stalled as a result of the getting structure. Since we the project stalled, for the first time, we had a lot of assurance.
Oh, well, my apologies for that bad sound. But that was my colleague Collins Frimponde reporting from the Temaflau Road. And we'll take a break here on the midday news. When we return, we'll bring you sports, and we'll also let you hear from the supporters of Adjoasafo who stormed the NPP headquarters to support the former member of parliament for Domiko Abinyan. Remember, she was invited to appear before the party's disciplinary committee today over her commentary in the media. Stay.
So why ridicule me in public and come here and tell me that the committee is not even sitting? The message you send to the whole of Ghana is that I've done something untoward.
Petrosol are celebrating their 10 years in grand style. They're giving back to their loyal customers. Hope you have registered at their online portal. Don't say I didn't tell you all.
Each month, customers will stand the chance of winning items like tricycles, motorcycles, television sets, refrigerators, phones, fuel vouchers, and many more. But the best part is that at the end of the promo, we will be giving out a grand prize of 2 Suzuki Espresso cars to lucky winners who stay with us all through the promo period. All you need to join is to visit any of our over 100 stations across the country to get registered, or go to www.petrosolcrm.com to register online.
Petrosol, energizing dreams.
When I wake up in the morning, I brush my teeth with Kale Charcoal Toothpaste. This gives me confidence all day.
Anytime you meet Ama, don't be surprised I smile showing my beautiful white teeth because I don't have cavity thanks to Kale Charcoal Toothpaste for its natural charcoal properties. In fact, we are like twins. I can't go without my Kale Charcoal Toothpaste.
That be why I dey use Kale Charcoal Toothpaste morning and night when I dey go bed self. It dey make my teeth white when it dey comot every scent from my mouth inside. My confidence level they go up, so I they show my 32 teeth all.
Introducing the Kale Charcoal Toothpaste, formulated with activated bamboo charcoal powder, ensures whiter teeth and removes bad breath. The strong natural property of the activated bamboo charcoal removes bacteria, absorbs surface stains on our teeth caused by coffee, wines, and tobacco. Welcome, Kale Charcoal Toothpaste. Kale Charcoal Toothpaste. Sankofa Yenchi.
Kale. Happy smile.
This advert is FDA approved.
This is still the Midday News live on Joy 99.7 FM and around the world on myjoyonline.com. Achu is here to serve us sports. What's up?
Unfortunately, we have to start on the bad news note because Gannes Enesnyama, his season is over after he ruptured his anterior cruciate ligament in the French league yesterday. That injury will rule him out of action for 4 months, which effectively means that he will no longer be available for selection for the French league side and also for the Black Stars, who will be active in the month of June during the international window. But the Star Times proposed return as official broadcaster of the Ghana Premier League has also hit a snag following the Chinese company's failure to honor its agreement with the GFA. They had reached an agreement to extend their partnership for a period of 2 years, but that agreement was contingent on the Chinese company clearing its outstanding debts to the Ghana Football Association before that will be actioned. Unfortunately, that has not happened.
Actually, I thought we're doing sports. Ligaments are my Yamuta FC.
That's the name of the injury.
Yeah.
Anterior cruciate ligament.
Okay.
He ruptured it, so for the next 4 months, it's not. Unfortunately, there's no other way of describing the injury.
Because all I know is ligaments. That is one that you're saying. But thank you so much for bringing us sports. And now, supporters of Ajua Safo have stormed the NPP headquarters to support the former Member of Parliament for Domi Kwabinya. And she was invited to appear before the party's disciplinary committee today over her commentary in the media. And she's been in the media in recent past, taking on elements within the party for what she calls mistreatment during her time of difficulty. And my colleague Kenneth Jesse is live on ground with more. Can you tell us about the mood? We are dying to hear what's happening at the NPP headquarters.
Well, hundreds of supporters of Sarah Joseph, all the way from Domi Kwabinya, to support the former deputy majority leader. They say that when she was served yesterday, they thought it wise that they'll have to come and support her, come what may. So they were in jubilant spirit, saying that if she decides to contest again in 2028, she has their support, although she's made it public that she will not go for the seat again. So the supporters are actually in jubilant mode. They know that Sarah Joseph will come out victorious.
Is it coming on, though?
No, unfortunately, it did not come off, because when Sarah Joseph came here, she was informed that the party had postponed this meeting, this disciplinary committee that she was supposed to appear before, has been postponed. And in fact, was shocked because she said that she was not informed, and she was more shocked because the letter that she was informed to appear before the party as committee, she says, was served her yesterday, which was a Sunday, which she says was not supposed to be the case. But she decided to honor the invitation, and she came and met just one party executive, although she did not name who she met when she entered the building. So she's obviously expressed her disappointment that the party failed to officially communicate to her that this meeting today was not coming off.
There was a change of plans. Why wasn't a phone call placed on my phone? Because